Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Mental Health Check-In with your boy Leek. Today I have a special guest, Louis Cologne from The Amazing Race and currently The Challenge USA Season 2. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. Not so much currently because my ass already got eliminated. But yeah, I was on this season.
I'm still going to say currently. I wish you were still there, bro.
It's tough, dude, man. Going in. You know, only two amazing racers. It's tough. It's tough. But I had a great, I knew that going into, man. I'm not going to say no to the challenge, but I had a great time doing it, you know.
Challenge, if you listening, y'all need some more amazing racers on there. It's not fair. It's not
fair. Yeah, it isn't. It isn't. And I just don't know the reason why, you know. I think it'll be a great show if, imagine if everything was 6, 6, 6, and 6.
Yeah.
You know, between the four shows, MTV, Big Brother, Survivor, Amazing Race, 6 for each, that changes the game completely, you know.
Yes.
You know, it is what it is, man, but it's fun. It was fun.
So let's get into this episode. We're here to talk mental health, and I want to ask you this question. I ask all my guests this question when they first come on.
Yeah.
How is your mental health?
My mental health right now, Leek, is I'm at a good spot. I'm in a good spot in my life. You know, I'm a person... generally see the glass half full. I'm a person that's very optimistic in life. Whenever there is somebody or someone that's trying to change the vibe or my energy, I usually don't feed it with their same negativity. You know, I don't judge people for how they are or how they react. I try to explain, have an explanation in my mind. Maybe something's going around. So maybe something's wrong in their home life. Maybe something's wrong in something deeper. And that's why they're acting like this. And I don't judge people. I don't react back with that same negativity. So overall, I've always been a positive person, but I think we'll get into it. There has been struggles in my life with mental health.
Yeah, don't forget your life of the party, too.
I try to be, man. I try to be, dude. That's how I am, man. Me and my wife, we make a good team when it comes bringing the party. That's for sure.
I see it on Instagram. I'm just like, those people that look like they're very welcoming. If you, like, come to a party and just feel shy, they partying with them, you won't be shy no more.
Yeah. Yeah, I love, man, coming into a room. I would know, if I don't know anybody in that party, I'm like, great, a bunch of people I don't know. Let's get to know them and let's have a good time. That's how I am.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that question, right? I like asking that question because we could be struggling, right? Mentally. Yeah. And I could say, hey, Louis, how you doing? You could be like, I'm okay. But when you ask somebody, how's your mental health? It opens up the door to say, you know what? I'm okay, but mentally I'm struggling. You know, anxiety is attacking my life, you know, depression. I've been going through this. So I love to ask that.
Yeah,
like it's needed more in this world.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yes. My next question for you was one of my favorite follow up questions to that question. Is growing up, was it okay not to be okay for you?
No, I'm gonna say no. I feel like I grew up in a Latino household, and especially I feel like. Being Latino, like my family was all about the superficial, about how good you looked and how you presented yourself, how good you were doing in school, what are you employed by, how much money you make a year, how successful are you, when all those things don't equate to what's going on mentally in your mind, right? So I grew up in a world where it's all about how you present yourself, you know, and, you know, if I tell my mom, you know, I love my mom, you know, but she was just all about, you know, making sure you behave good in school. Like, I'll tell my mom, I didn't have a good day in school. I was talking to my friend in class and she'd be like, you were talking in class? Did you get in trouble? I'm like, no, mom, like I'm trying. You can't talk in class. I'm just like, mom. So it wasn't okay being not okay. If that answers your question, you know what I'm saying?
I love to ask that question too, because like there's no right or wrong answer to that question. I feel like
Yeah.
it grows up differently, and it's always amusing to see somebody's answer to that question. Because you know, we all come from different backgrounds, different walks,
Yes.
and you just never know how somebody grew up, you know.
Yeah. That's my growing up in a nutshell. We weren't very vocal about our feelings. See, my parents had me old. My parents were in their 40s, and that wasn't normal back in the day. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't that, that people had kids younger back in the day, and I'm 36 now, so I grew up with older values, and my dad never spoke to me about sex. My dad never spoke to me about mental health. My dad never spoke to me about it was even rare to talk about religion, even though they were super Catholic and they went to mass every Sunday. It wasn't a vocal family. It was just like, hey, you keep your stuff in and you figure it out. And that's not healthy at all.
Growing up for me, like I feel like I wasn't okay not to be okay. But my grandma, like she my grandma raised me. My mom and dad was on drugs. And she just, I don't know if she showed emotion or like, I just know it was okay for me to show emotion. If I cried, but just say it's like what I'm crying for, you know, man up, you know,
Yeah.
something like a punk and stuff like that, you know, something like a girl or whatever. But
Yeah.
I've just seen her, like, I don't think I've never seen her cry or anything before. I just see her be sad. I did see her be sad. I just never see her like cry. So it just made me think like maybe I need to hold stuff in just like her, you know, growing up seeing her.
Yeah. Yeah. Is your grandma still around?
No, she died.
Okay.
She died in the 7 year.
Okay. Did you ever talk to her about like
No.
that? No.
Nah. We'll get to this later.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And
I'm gonna talk about that
okay. I'm
later.
interviewing you.
My next question for you, right? What are some mental health issues that you have to struggle with growing up, or you know, as like as an adult?
All right, so we're what can I talk about? As I guess we'll talk about youth stuff. I wasn't too confident in myself growing up. I was a kid that was very slim and very, very thin, right?
Yeah.
To the point where, it was just too, I was very skinny. I'll eat a lot, but I was just very skinny. And that didn't help with my confidence. But people were like, you're so skinny. You know what I'm saying? And it was a sign of weakness for me. Like I'm not strong enough, you know? And I tried to go to the gym in high school and I just wasn't strong. And that when people tell you how weak you are and how small you are, that played a role in my mental health where I was just like, I'm not good enough for anything, you know, even though I was still an athletic kid. I feel like that was one thing. We already talked about my parents younger. And then, you know, after a while, after working on that, my struggles were just from my job afterwards as an adult. Being a firefighter, you see a lot of stuff. And how can I explain it? You know, it's they say working, you know, in emergency medical services, like it's just any drop into the bucket will make you overflow, right? So you have this, they do it, they picture it, they make you picture this bucket, and every time you see a call, every time you have an emergency, every time you see, you know, a suicide or a dead person, you know, it's just a drop in the bucket. A drop in the bucket, and all of a sudden, any drop all of a sudden can make you overflow, right? And that's pretty much my struggles as an adult, and that's pretty much what I'm going through, you know, past my youth.
My next question for you, right, goes right into the last question. But let's talk about stigma, right? You know, I feel like we're getting so much better with stigma, you know, surrounding mental health, not just
Yeah.
mental health, but surrounding men's mental health. You know, the stigma that says, you know, men, we can't cry, we can't be weak, we have to man up, you know, we can't depress, we can't be sad, we have to be the man and everything. Especially, you know, you as a Latino man and me as a black man, like, what do you say to that stigma that's still out there? Because, you know, there are men that's still, suicide rate of men is still high. You know, men are dying by suicide. They feel like they don't have no one to talk to. And you mentioned, it's crazy that you mentioned your job, because I had somebody from the Netflix show The Mole, his name Jacob Hacker, cool guy and everything, and he's a firefighter slash EMT. And doing doing the episode with him, I didn't realize how that job can affect your mental health until he talked about it.
I remember Jacob on the mole. I thought he was the mole, by the way. Because firefighters, every time they're off, they don't shave. Like, they have to shave at work. And I'm like, he's still shaving? Even though he doesn't have to shave? He's the mole. But anyways, I remember that. But anyways, well, the stigma. I feel like it's improved throughout the years, right? Even though it's still there. Just like in the fire service, right? In the fire service, it used to be, you got problems, you go to the bar, you drink, you don't talk about it. And suicide rates are even higher for firefighters, police officers, military, and dispatchers even, you know? And that was the stigma back in the days. You don't talk about it. You man up. You know, you feel bad. You keep it inside. And I'm glad, as a community, even though it's not perfect, right? We still have a lot more room to grow. But as a, you know, firefighter, I do see progress in that you don't have to man up anymore, right? You talk about it. So one of my worst mental health struggles was the summer of 2016. Summer of 2015. This is before I was married. I will never forget this. This was the morning of Father's Day, right? It was like 12 o'clock in the morning, right? 12 midnight, heading into Father's Day. And we get a call for a structure fire. Yeah. When we get there, half of the house is on fire. It's one of these trailers that are on stilts. And it's just, everything's on fire. The walls, the roof, half of the house is on fire. And we see a teenager outside. Right. And he pretty much says, my brother, my mom, my brother and sister are still in there. So obviously we do whatever we can. Unfortunately, they didn't survive. We pulled out. We found the mom and the 5-year-old little girl in the room. We pulled them out. And it was horrific. In which state the body of the little boy was, to the point I don't want to even talk about it. Their dad was divorced with the mom, and their dad lived down the block.
Wow.
That man, I've never heard a man screech and yell so loud in my life when he saw that his family's house was on fire and his kids are in there. He almost ran in there with no firefighter gear or air tank or nothing. He almost ran into the house to the point that police officers had to tackle him.
Yeah.
So that night, and it was the morning of Father's Day, could you imagine what this man went through? Police officers had to handcuff him because he was going crazy. So that's my, and then after this, basically, you know, as a firefighter, I was the first do engine there. And I asked myself, why couldn't I do more? Why couldn't I go in there and save them? Yeah. You rethink everything and you start blaming yourself. And that's what happens a lot with police officers and firefighters. You blame yourself for the lives that you should have saved, right? And that's when I hit a depression. I couldn't eat right for months. I couldn't shit right for months. I couldn't sleep. Yeah. I was depressed for months because I asked myself, why couldn't I do more? And on top of seeing lifeless children, right, which is not normal.
Yeah.
Me, I see lifeless adults all the time. Older adults too, you know, they're older, they pass away, but seeing lifeless children is very hard, very hard. You never get used to that. And what I went through was, it was horrible. Like my mind, I was in a bad place to the point where You know, driving to work, I don't want to go to work. I feel like everybody was looking at me every time I go to a supermarket. I feel like people were always looking at me, judging at me, like, hey, that's the firefighter that didn't do more on that fire scene. Like, that's how messed up your mind is, right? And I'm just thinking that the whole time, and I'm just like in a bad place. And it was very difficult for me to get over that hump. And I'm getting back to I didn't want to go to work. To one day, I actually had a suicidal thought that hit me. I saw a big 18-wheeler coming my way. Yeah. And I told myself, I just want to ram my car into this 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
And it hit me like, this is why people commit suicide. Because of this low that you have. Because of this, the depression. And it hit me, right? And And then that's when I was like, I gotta speak out more. I gotta talk about this more. Yeah. And back to your original question, the fire service has gotten better in the point where people were there for me. I was open and people talked to me. It was people in my fire station. It was people at my church. It was my wife. It was my family. And I was very open. Even my parents, because my parents have grown to be, you know, more accepting, right? Yeah. So even they've changed. And I just thank God for them. And basically, I'm glad the stigma has improved throughout the years, because I'm not sure where I'll be if it wasn't for that. And yeah, it took me, and all of a sudden, Leak, it just hit me like, before, I used to be like, how can somebody commit suicide? Life is so great. What are they thinking? How can they do that to their kids or to their family? That's selfish. Yeah. But that's wrong, thinking that way, because they don't do that. They do that to stop their own pain, but they don't do that. It's something that you can, just can't judge, because you don't know what they're going through. And then I understood. I became more compassionate for people that are in need of are in, you know, mental health crisis. I became more compassionate for them, became less judging. And like I said, there's still a lot to improve with the stigma, but I'm glad it's in a better spot.
Man, thank you for sharing it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
It was very heartfelt. And I want to personally say thank you for your services, all you do. Like I said, when I had Jacob, I didn't realize, like, you know, when I talk about mental health, I just try to talk to everybody, like, you know, reality stars, ex-football players, actors I had on, personal friends of mine, pastors, you know, therapists. I try to talk to everybody. But when you talk to people that does EMT or firefighter, it's a whole different, you know. Yeah.
It's difficult. It's difficult, man. And that's the struggles that we go through. There's a lot of great jobs, a lot of great parts about the job, but man, there are times where it's crazy the amount of suicides they are, you know. In my department, I have a large department, over 1,000 guys, but in the last 3 years have been 2 suicides. And that's way too much. That's just way too much for, you know, and it's just, and it's really tough. And I've been more open about my struggle that I had, you know, and it's what firefighters, police officers, military is what we need. Mm-hmm. And there are there's a lot more help out there. It's a lot more accepted. You know, I feel like back in the day, it's like, oh dude, you're feeling bad? Nah, bro, you're good. Now it's like, oh, that's how you feel? Yo, all right, yo, come here. Let's sit down. Let's have a chat right now. And let's talk about this. So,
and you know, being that we are talking about suicide, I want to say anybody out there that's struggling, there is a suicide crisis number out there. The number is 988. If you or someone you know is struggling with any thoughts of suicide, please reach out to that number. There are plenty of free resources online. There's a organization called NAMI. They are across the United States. Yeah. I used to facilitate support groups for them. They had different support groups. They're not intended to replace therapy, but they are free online support groups. I know therapy is a must, guys. You must be in therapy, but support groups are amazing to be around people that understand mental health issues just like you. And I was going to ask you a question, but you kind of like answered it in the last question. So I was going to ask you, like, have you ever dealt with any thoughts of suicide? right? Deep Dr. Pressure. So I'll tell my story, right? I always tell my story to make me feel comfortable, but you know your story. As a child, right? And you know, everybody knows I got a book out, you know. I was sexually abused by two of my male cousins that was way older than me. So I didn't start dealing with that until I got to age 26. But yeah, 26. That's when I really started dealing with it. But I never forget the one time I was at work and something triggered me and I just started breaking down crying. My coworkers thought it was like a manager that did something to me and said something to me, but I think I just got triggered by something and just was crying at work in the bank, talking to my sister. I was like, you know, I can't believe they just did that to me. And you know, she was like, you got to forgive them in your heart. And like, and I did that and that did not work. When I turned 26 and I started going back to church and being around a lot of guys, I felt uncomfortable. I felt like I didn't belong. I didn't feel like a man and stuff like that because of what my cousins did to me. I feel like they took my manhood away. They took my choice away when I was a child and everything. And they're always haunting me. So, you know, I deal with the trauma. Then 2007, when I was in, I'm 33, when I was in high school going to my 12th grade, before I went to 12th grade, I lost my grandma. We wasn't on speaking terms and everything. Something happened between me and her. I was a bad child. Something happened between me and her. But we wasn't on speaking terms and she died. That broke my heart. And then 2019, well, before 2017, I found out my mom was diagnosed with liver cancer. Me and my mom had the best relationship, but we was cool. But that like was like, wow, liver cancer. Then 2019, she passed away. I got a call. I was like, you need to start going to the hospital. I'm like, for what? You know, my sister was like, mommy, just not doing good. So, you know, I never thought I'd be in a cancer center treatment, just asking God to heal my mom and stuff like that. You know, I had my pastor come up there at the time. And when they sent her on hospice, I kind of already knew what that meant because my sister-in-law explained it to me because she worked in the hospital. And my mom passed away from liver cancer. And that was like so hard, you know, that just broke my heart. And then, you know, something else happens. 9 months later, my sister passed away. You know, I think she missed my mom and stuff. I really think she missed my mom and stuff like that because she took it like really, really hard. She took it the hardest. And, you know, dealing with trauma and grief and everything, I suffer from the PTSD, borderline personality disorder, suicidal thoughts, attempts. Like, you know, I still have them. You know, I do this podcast. I talk mental health. I love coming on here, having these conversations surrounding myself. But I still struggle, you know. And I'm just saying, nobody's perfect. Nobody has it right. And nobody, you know, we all going to struggle. You know, it's going to be times when you're up. There's going to be times when you're down. And I just want to say, anybody out there that's struggling, please, please, please dial 988 or get in a NAMI support group or a church group, wherever you go to church at, whatever type of religion you are, they have groups, you know, they are free, not therapy, but some jobs, don't forget some of your jobs have, they're free. I know my job, two of my jobs, they have free, like six therapy sessions and stuff like that, you know, until you find a therapist, you know, make sure you ask your job about that type of stuff. But I feel like a lot of jobs are more vocal about mental health, you know. I think EAP, I think that's what it's called.
We have EAP. And now after the two suicides in my department, they make us do one session of therapy a year. So it's mandatory now. Like we all have to do it, which I think is great. That's, believe it or not, that's probably the first time that I've seen, like, sat down with a therapist. Like, I sat down with somebody from that helped me out in my church. But yeah. That's huge. If you have EAP, you get that help. Obviously, church, my church did. Oh man, I can't tell you how many times I bawled out. I'm crying at my church, you know, and people were just, they're so supportive. Yeah. And you know, they know how to say the right things, right? Because we all got bad advice, right? Like people tell us, dude, just stop thinking about it. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Oh, okay. Thanks. That works. Like, no, that's not how that works. Like, you can't, if I tell you, don't think about a pink elephant, what just popped into your mind? That's not how that works. There's people that give you very bad advice and you just gotta, you know, let it roll off, you know, and find people that know what to do. Because telling somebody, don't think about it, that's dumb advice, right? You might receive advice like that. You gotta find somebody like, I mean, my wife, she's not a therapist, but, you know, You know, my wife, Michelle, we were on Amazing Race together. I owe my life to her because I'll be driving a car. I'll be driving with her. You know, she's in the car with me. And this was, you know, back in 2015 after the incident. And I'll just start crying. I'll just start bawling. It's been a month already since the incident.
Yeah.
And I'll just start crying. And she'll be like, it's okay, baby. Hey, don't think about it. She didn't say, you know, stop crying or bad advice. She just like held my hand and she cried with me. That's a beautiful thing. Sometimes people just want you there to sit down and just to have company. You don't have to talk. Sometimes it's okay not to give advice. You know, they're going through stuff, not you, right? Don't compare. So try not to compare other stuff. Sometimes it's okay to just sit there and just be by their side.
Yeah.
Right. And it's basically just try to find the right people. And sometimes, you know, you might get bad advice from friends, but just remember, just let it roll off and just go to the next person to give you help is what I can tell you.
I low key think that like husband and wife or, you know, partners are low key therapists too, you know. They are people that you talk to the most about. You know, you talk to your therapist, but I feel like that's people that you'll talk to the most about, you know, if you have a supportive partner. And like people that's listening, remember, not everybody understands mental health. It's not our job to educate them, but you know, sometimes you get them people that want to learn, that want to be there for you and stuff like that. I just want to put that out there because not everybody understands. I have people in my life that don't get it. Like you said that, you know, before you was like, you know, you don't understand suicide, but now I got people that gets it. Like I tell people, like, I get it. Like, you know, I lost my friend Dante Austin. He was an OPD cop in Philadelphia. That's where I'm from. And he took his life. And it was somebody that saved me. There was somebody that, like, when I wanted to die a long time ago and told me, like, Lee, get it together. You know, it's okay. You know, and he wound up taking his life.
Oh, wow.
He was about to get promoted to sheriff and everything. I don't, like, I still think about it. You know, I think, you know, September is Suicide Prevention Month. So, you know, I think about him this month. I'm just like, wow, like, you know, I wish he was still here to see some of the stuff that I'm doing and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so sorry, Lee. That's crazy. And it's unfortunate. Like, you know, some people just, you know, when they commit suicide, you would think, hey, their lives were going great. What was going on? Right. Yeah. And we just never know. We just never know what's really going on inside somebody's head. But those people, I guess, you know, they didn't express themselves. They didn't talk about stuff, right? And they held stuff in. Like I was talking before, just a drop in the bucket, and all of a sudden that bucket just overflows.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But again, if anybody's listening, so everybody's listening across the world, 988 is the number, the Suicide Prevention 9. They are available 365 days. You could be bored, lonely, need someone to talk to, or just having a bad day. They are there, trust and believe. And that's a question for you. We're going to get off mental health a little bit. Mentally, what was the difference between doing the Amazing Race and Challenge USA 2?
Oh, night and day, Lee. Night and day. Let me say that the Amazing Race, even though we had struggles, yeah, I was with my wife. I was in the show that I love the most.
Yeah.
I was living a dream. I was more up than downs, right? Even though there's downs, you know, I didn't win $1 million. I came close. There were a lot of ups and downs, but at the end of the day, that was a thrill ride. You know, we were in the Amazing Race. I'm not sure if everybody knows, you're also, whenever you're done with the race, you get sent to your hotel room and you cannot leave your hotel room. You're pretty much quarantined, right? Even this is not just, you know, for COVID reasons. Even my season was a COVID season, but it's not just because of COVID. It was all seasons before me. You get sent to your room and you cannot leave. And that's sometimes you're in there for 2 days, you know, and that could mess up somebody's psyche. That's a lot of people can't handle that, right? But me, I was with my wife. I was having a great time. You know, with my wife in a hotel room. I'm even having sex. Like, it's great. Like, it's dude, I'm doing fine when other people are with their, you know, there's that daughter and son, or daughter and father, like, in a room. It's like, that's awkward. That sucks. But me, no, Amazing Race was great. But the challenge was way more challenging for me. Oh, 100%, man, because my wife isn't there with me. You know, I'm in a house with strangers. I'm in a house with, from day one, people were coming at me. People were trying to get me out just because I just didn't have the connections that people do. I don't have as much, you know, people on my team. That person, Dusty, didn't have my back as much as I wanted to. So that person didn't have my back, even though I made some great connections in the house. Yeah. You know, I was still thinking these guys are going to, you know, backstab me at some point. I can't talk to or talk or haven't. I've been with my wife, Leek, for 14 years, and I've talked to her every single day. This is the first time I don't talk to my wife, and I went more than two weeks without talking to her. And it was very tough. You're in a house with no TV. You're in a house with no radio. The food is not great. For some reason, the hot water never worked. And you're in Croatia and it's 50 degrees all the time outside. You just want a hot shower. It's tough. You know, I give it to people that did Big Brother and Survivor, because on the Amazing Race, we go back to the hotel room. We could play some music on the clock radio. We could watch some TV, and they give us some wine at the end of the day. Like, it was great. It was great, you know? So it was two different obstacles, way differently. Like, even though I was eliminated from the challenge, I was okay with the fact that, hey, I'm going home. I'm going to go see my wife. I haven't seen her in a long time. And it was just a daily struggle for me in the house, because it was a very competitive. I'm doing secret voting we're doing secret voting, which I've never done that in my life. Big Brother and Survivor, that's all they do, right? They just vote each other out. Like, I've never done that before, and it was very tough for me. So
it's very different.
Oh, so different, man. I mean, I know Survivor and Big Brother get better numbers, they have more viewers, but for me, I just love the race, because it's all about how you can do mostly. And if you perform well, then it's a high chance that you could win. But yeah, that's how I felt about both shows.
My friend, I told him and his wife would be amazing on Amazing Race. I told him they would be amazing on there. I feel like they both smart. They both work out and everything. I said, y'all would be amazing. I don't know how to sign y'all up. I'm definitely gonna And I'm like, y'all will be great, probably great TV too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. What's crazy about the race is that, you know, when I first went in, I thought it was a competition show. And then the casting director, the head of casting, Jesse Tannenbaum, you know, after he interviewed me, he's like, Lewis, you're talking too much about competition. This is not a competition show. This is a relationship show. And it just clicked. He wants to know how we work. He wants to, you know, before I got casted, he wants to find out what makes us tick, what makes us fight, what makes us, you know, work or not work together. So that's what I find the race interesting. It's not only a competition show, but it's all about, you know, health, relationship, mental health. I'm not sure if you saw season 33, Kim Holderness. She talked about some of her she was the winner of season 33, and she talked about, you know, some of her mental health struggles throughout the race, because it's tough. She was away from her kids. She was locked in a hotel room, and she's talked about that. But yeah, going back to your friends, apply, dude. They got to apply. And just remember, just talk about, if they apply, talk about what makes them click, you know?
Okay.
Not so much the competition.
Definitely going to try to convince them.
Yeah.
You was in Amazing Race. Y'all was in Germany?
So yeah, we started off in Germany.
What part of Germany you started off with?
We were in Munich.
Oh, I got like a crazy story. So I just recently in Munich.
Really?
Yeah, so my best friend, I was just talking about, his job, he's from Virginia, him and his wife, but they live in Philly. But I live in Delaware now, but he works in Maryland. His job sent him there for 4 months. I was like, that was a dope job. Sent him to Munich, Germany, and every 4 months. Nice. So I was like, I'm going to come up there and visit. You know, we're supposed to go to Mexico for my birthday, but it just didn't happen.
Because,
his job come first. And he was like, you should come up here. I was like, I'm going to come. After that, I was like, bullshit. And after that, I was going to go up there. And when I booked that ticket, I was like, okay, I have no choice. I can't get my money back. So I didn't realize I was a picky eater until I got to Germany. I did not realize I was a picky eater till I got to Germany. I didn't eat that much when I was up there. It's just like not saying Germany had like a bad smell. I just the spices was totally different from me. Like totally
I
different
would
from
agree with you, man.
me.
I had a whole lot of
And I
gas
was
in
like,
Germany.
I couldn't wait to go back home and get some like American, like we went to Nuremberg and everything to see the castles and where the Nazis was on trial, the museums. That was like dope. Germany is dope. Beautiful people, nice people.
I agree with the food though. The food is not great. Think about it. There's not a lot of German restaurants that you go to. That's not a thing, you know. There's a lot of Italian food, you know, even Spaniard wine, you know, but German restaurants, there's a lot of hot dogs and wieners and franks and stuff like that. It wasn't, I agree, man.
My first time, I could taste some fries and a burger. That burger, I took a bite and it was just like a spice. I was like, yeah. And my friend, shout out to my friend, because he's like, no, how they said no kids left behind. He no food left behind. He don't waste no food. I couldn't eat it. He took it. And then the McDonald's even is different up there than it is. I think it's probably fresher up here, up in Germany, but it's different. It was different for me. Only thing I really like was the KFC. I had pizza. Like I went to this pizza shop with him and they put some wings there. I was like, my friend's like, what's wrong? I was like, I can't eat it. I was like, I
I'm
can't
telling
eat
you, I
it.
feel like the
Look
fast food restaurants that you see here
at
are healthier in Europe and they're way more popular. Like KFC, dude. Like I
Oh my God.
love KFC, man,
The
but
KFC
here
there
in Europe it's way
was good.
better.
The KFC up there was good. They just didn't have no biscuits. I was like,
Oh,
but we it was
oh.
it was it was listen, let me tell you, man. And I'm diabetic, right? So I gotta eat. I barely wasn't eating. I think the only thing I ate was like pregame some pretzels. Their pretzels was good. Not like in America, but their pretzels was real good. I had this fruit juice drink that was good. I ate that. I drunk that. And then I went to the Starbucks and I was about to get an apple juice. It was like, it got gas in there. I was like, what the hell is gas? He was talking about
Oh,
sparkling water, sparkling. I was like, oh,
it's
okay.
all it all has gas. I was trying to, that was my first leg
Yeah.
of the race. I was trying to hydrate. All the water had gas, dude. I'm like burping.
I barely drink water. So what's that water? Evian water. Yeah,
Avion.
I drank that towards the end, but I was drinking Coke, soda, Coke. I was drinking Coke. I was just like, it was just like so bad. But yeah, I know you. I knew that you was in Germany. So how was
Yeah.
that being in a different country on Amazing
It
Race?
was cool, man. It was cool. It was really cool. We're the first season ever to start outside the United States. It was such a ride of a lifetime, man. Just visiting the eight countries. Of those eight countries, I've never been to six. It was the US and France that I've been to before. So all the other countries I've never been to. Man, it's so cool to see the beautiful cultures around of all these different countries and how great the people are in each culture. Because even though we're all different, we're all so similar in so many ways, and in the ways like of like how great the people were in trying to help. Like, you know, I ask them for help and they're so eager to help. It was great. It was a beautiful ride, man. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to do the race. And dude, League, I'm when I went on the race, I was 35 years old. You know, and I'm just like, and within a year, I do the show of my dreams. I record that, they show it on air, and then I go to the challenge, and I'm on the challenge with Johnny Bananas and Wes. Like, I'm just like, wow. Like, I feel so blessed of just how my life has just like given me this all of a sudden, you know? And I'm just so happy, man. And yeah, just lucky.
Thank you for that. It is crazy. Like my friend was up there, Germany for 4 months. Like they, him and his wife was up there. That was beautiful for that. The type of job she has. She could work from home, work for anywhere, and she was able to be up there because they just got married in October last year. So that was like really, really dope.
Cool.
And shout out to them because I probably would never went nowhere if it wasn't for them.
Nice,
My first international trip, and I had just got a passport too.
man. That's awesome. You gotta travel more, man. It's so cool to see
Oh yeah,
people, different cultures.
I'm going on a cruise next year to Mexico.
Nice.
My sister-in-law lives in Tampa, Florida, so she was like talking about a cruise. I'm like, I'm going. She's like, oh yeah, you can go. So I'm definitely going to. I think they get on a cruise to come from Tampa to Mexico. So
Do it. Cruises are awesome, bro. The food is amazing too on cruises.
okay.
And it's all included usually. So man, ah.
Listen, I said the next time I travel somewhere, I need to research the food first. My next question for you is what are some good coping skills you could recommend to someone that's struggling with their mental health, right? And before Lewis answers that question, His coping skills, my coping skills are different. They may not work for everybody, but there's some coping skills out there that work for somebody. But, yeah.
I mean, we kind of already went over it. Like just be vocal, talk. I was like I said, from my upbringing, I was very, very internal with my feelings. I never expressed it. I thought that was a sign of weakness. And for me, it's just being more vocal, talking. I talk things through all the time, and I've really learned it was a struggle, but I've learned how to, just talk about my feelings instead of holding stuff in. Even with my marriage, I feel like, when I first started dating Michelle, I just didn't say anything that bothered me. And then the next thing that happened, I didn't say that. The next thing that bothered me, I didn't talk about it. The next thing that bothered me, I didn't talk about it. And all of a sudden, I just blow up and I talk about everything. And that's not healthy. Internalizing that is not healthy. And I've learned right when something bothers me, I talk about it, and then I realize that I overreact right there, or it's just more healthier to talk about things.
Yes, and I would like to be like, journaling, not even just
Nice.
written
Nice.
journal, not even written journal. We all have phones now. Nowadays, we all have phones. You could do a voice journal. That will always be good to come back and listen to.
That's very good advice. I've never thought of that. That's cool.
Walking, exercise. I know I need to
Yes.
go to the gym, but exercise has in the past has been so good for me. So I remember times I was depressed, go right to the gym. Every time I was depressed and would just work the
Yes.
steam off.
I just got back from the gym. I agree. I think I'm going to be a little bit late, man. I'm coming back from the gym. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Just talking to someone, and like I said before, not everybody understands it, but talking to someone that understands, that's going to listen to you and not be a problem fixer, somebody that's not going to be trying to fix your problem, just someone that just can listen, that
Yes.
will make you feel heard. Yeah, just like that.
Yes. And talking about problem fixers, that's another thing I struggled with, with my spouse, So Michelle will come back from a stressful day at work and she's talking about her problems and I'm trying to fix all her problems. And she's just like, "Why don't you just listen?" And I'm just like, "What do you mean? These problems are easy to fix." And I've learned throughout the years, I don't mean to generalize with genders, but women they usually just want to be heard and men want to fix, right? So I've learned just to, when my wife has an issue, I listen and I just don't say anything. I'm saying, "I'm so sorry, babe, for how you feel." And don't try to fix it. And if it comes to a point, there's sometimes you could butt in, "Would you like some advice or you just want to talk about it?" And that's all you do, And "Oh, no, I just want to express how I feel," that sometimes she says, and it's like, "Perfect, I'm here for you." So I've learned that as well.
My last question for you, right, is what can you say to someone that's struggling with their mental health, right? Why is it important to put their mental health first, right? A lot of us that struggle with mental problems or issues, we tend to put Everest before ourselves, right? So somebody that's listening right now, can you tell them why is the most important thing that they put their mental health first?
Yes, put yourself first. If you're struggling right now, I just want to say, hey, it's okay. It's all good. Like, hey, it happened. It's and it's not gonna end, tomorrow. Just remember, it's not, don't put a time limit on things. And I feel like that's what I was doing when I was struggling. I was just like, it's been a month and I'm still messed up. It's been 3 months and I'm still messed up. No, just, it's okay. Sometimes everybody grieves differently. And it's a struggle. Man, it's a struggle. Oh man, you're not alone. It's okay. Be vocal about it. And yeah, don't put a time limit on it. Just, and find people that are here for you, just like you, Leek. Just you doing this is huge.
Thank you. I would like to say, I always say this, like, nobody's gonna put your mental health first like you're gonna put your mental health first. You can't be there for others when your cup is empty.
Yes.
You need somebody pouring in your cup. You can't do it all by yourself. You need help. Whereas that, religion, a friend, a brother, a sister, a sibling, or a family member, you need some type of help. You can't do it all by yourself. Give sometimes. I hate to put burdens on people, but give the burden to the Lord, whoever
Oh
you're with.
man, I love that.
He can cast your cares on him, and he could definitely lift you up, but he'll never put more on you than you could bear. So just always remember, you come first. You have to be okay.
100%, man. Promise. Amen to that.
Yes. And ending this, I'm going to ask you, like, what do you got going on next? Like, what's next for you?
Man, so, you know, me going on all these shows, I missed some promotional opportunities at my job. I don't regret it at all. I went on the Amazing Race and the Challenge, but now, you know, I'm focusing on my career. Uh-huh. I'm actually going back to school to get my bachelor's in public administration, because I see myself being a chief or a high position chief in my fire department one day. Mm-hmm. So I actually started going back to school. You know, I'm online. I'm gonna get my bachelor's. Yeah. I'm focusing on promoting to lieutenant. Lieutenant is the position that I want to be next. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for where my career is at. And right now, you know, hoping I get invited back for Amazing Race All Stars. That's the show that I'm just like, man, I hope I get invited back for the Amazing Race All Stars. The challenge, I got to think about it, you know, because I don't have that many vacation days right now, man. I don't have that much time off right now, you know, so I got to pick one or the other. I think I'll just stick around and probably wait for Amazing Race All Stars, you know, and just focus and for right now, just I'm focusing on my career and life is good, man. Life is good.
Yeah, I was you know, I'm about to add earlier, right? I gotta see why this is a hit. Maybe he was busy, but I remember Jacob was on his Australian Firefighters calendar. Why did they invite you? Like, was you busy or something? Do you know about that?
No. What show is that?
No, it's not a show. It was like an Australian 2024 Australian firefighter calendar model. I was like,
Australian though.
Yeah. Jacob is not Australian. He's from Ohio. That's, so I'm like, how the hell?
I don't know. That's funny. But yeah. But I feel like The Mole gets. I'm not sure if The Mole gets more viewers. But The Mole is a hot show on Netflix. Netflix. Yeah. I feel like it's seen around the world easily though. So I think that's probably why he got invited onto that. But you will catch me on Bryce's Zaddy calendar. Not sure if you know that.
Before we go, quick game I want to play with you, right? I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say reality show. Let me know, would you go on the show, okay?
Okay.
What's up with The Mole? Would you go on The Mole?
Yeah, I'll do The Mole.
Okay. I would go on there.
And this is, and we're talking about like if I have, you know, my free time from work, because right now it's a struggle to probably get more time off from work. But if I have all the vacation days I need from work, The Mole? Yeah.
Okay, I would definitely do. What about The Traitors USA? I don't know if you watched it.
Ooh, okay. So I love The Traitors, man. Man, Suri was a beast in that first season with the ending spoiler. But The Traitors, it's just I'm not good at that lying game. I don't like that. That's why I'm not good at Survivor. And I wasn't too good at the challenge. I won't be good at Big Brother. So if I was a traitor, I feel like, oh, that would be tough for me because I don't like lying to people's faces. Even though it's a game, I know it's a game, but it's just difficult for me. Yeah. So, but I'll still do it. I just hope I'm not a traitor.
What about Survivor?
Never.
Okay. Listen, we're on the same page. Bro. So I had Desi on my podcast before.
Yeah, yeah.
So after she did Challenge USA, the first one, that's my sis. I'm cool as hell. I was never going there. She was like, never say never. I said, I'm saying never. I never watched the episode until recently. It was like The Winners at War. And like, I said, oh my God, this is like, and I asked her, this is y'all real living here? But she said, yeah. I said, oh, hell no.
At the end of the day, I need food, man. I love eating.
I need a bathroom. I need a shower.
I need a bed.
I just need everything. My Dove men's body wash. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I'll be more likely. I'm pretty sure you're gonna ask Big Brother. I'll be more likely to do Big Brother than Survivor, but I won't do Big Brother, man. 90 days is just too long away from my wife, away from my family.
And this, remember, it's live feeds too. So anything you do, you know, the social media out there is judging.
Yeah. And some people mess up, man. Like they just like you've seen this season. Like I forgot his name got kicked out for saying a racial slur. That's not right. You know, I'm not so worried about that because me, man, like, you know, I'm a person I act regular and I'll be fine on that show. Yeah. But But yeah, just being away 90 days, like that's I think it's longer now too, right? I can't do that.
Yeah, and one more show, even though you did Challenge USA, the regular challenge, the main show, would you go
on? No, way too much drama. Way too much drama, dude. And a bunch of young people sleeping with each other. I'm just like, dude, I'm married in my mid-30s. What am I doing here in this frat house? Like, I'm not going to do that. I'll stick with Challenge USA. Everybody's older. Almost everybody's married and stuff, or in a relationship. Yeah. Not deflection.
I want to say thank you for coming on, brother. Thank you for coming on Mental Health. This was a dope episode. It was a fun episode. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much for inviting me, man. And yeah, thank you for doing this, Lee. This is great that you're doing this. And yeah, once you invited me, man, I was like, definitely, I'd love to go on because I wanted to share my story. And once again, thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
All right.